I want to thank you, church, and the board for supporting my crazy endeavors. In the game of where in the world is Aaron this week, last week I was in Cuba, and I just, my heart's in Cuba. I love what God is doing there. I wish he'd do it during the weekdays, not the weekends. But the bottom line is that the people of Cuba are struggling more than ever before. And we have some great opportunities going forward to provide them with food and possibly build some churches. And so we're going to be talking about that going forward. That's not for today. But again, I just want to thank you, church, and thank the board for all these crazy endeavors. You know, more than anything, though, and I thought about bringing her up here. I'm not going to do that today. She'd kill me when I get home. But I want to thank my wife. She knows there's nowhere on earth I would rather be than just beside her. I'm kind of like that puppy that doesn't go away when I am home. And yet I volunteer for two organizations that take me away from home all the time. And so I'm telling you, the security that we have in our relationship, it gives me the confidence and freedom to be able to do it. And so thank you. Which brings me to my message today. You know, near and dear to my heart is this series that we're going through. And as this series has gone on, it has crushed me not being able to preach the messages. Because I, Kelly said, me too. You know, this series titled For Better or For Worse, it's because outside of my relationship with God, there is nothing that I personally value more than my marriage. I'm sorry, church. She comes before you. And I'm gonna tell you this, and I only tell you this so you understand the dynamics of our relationship, because she understands what this means. I have told her, hey, these crazy things that I do that take me away from home, the ministry of the church, if you ever look at me and say, I can't do this anymore, it wouldn't take me a second to say, I'm done. I'm done with those things. Because my marriage is too important to sacrifice anything else above it. And the thing is, though, her understanding that knows that she cannot leverage that or abuse it to ever bring it up is to know that, hey, this is serious. And I am telling you that there are so many marriages right now within the realm of leadership of the church, I don't mean this church, but the church in general, that they are on life support. And so how can marriages, unhealthy marriages, lead churches? I don't get it. I don't understand it, because this is our connection and the world's connection to what godly relationships look like is through our marriages. I know not all marriages are created equal. And I know that many of you in this room, you might not be married and you're like, okay, I have checked out. But let's just take a show of hands here. Who many here are married? Okay, who many here have been married? Okay, so there's more hands going up. Okay, and who many hope to get married again someday? Okay, so there's hands going up there. Who have kids here that are married? You see where I'm going? We can all connect and we can all relate and pull something out of this message. I'm so thankful for a marriage that this year is going on 25 years strong. But I also understand the continual investment that it takes to keep it a strong marriage. Because here is the biggest reality. I'm going to throw some statistics at you. In the United States, the institution of marriage is not valued anymore. It's not. And many outside forces, they can hinder a marriage, but this is all at the heart of Satan's plan. In godless cultures, you will find marriage is not valued. And these marital relationships that we have, I just said it again, but I want to say it again. Our marital relationships most mirror the covenant relationship God established with his people through Christ. There is no greater symbol here on the earth than marriage covenant. Pastor Kelly referenced that in Ephesians 5:23, that in cultures where God is not honored, marriage will not be honored. So these relationships, they go hand in hand since God instituted in the garden when he said, it is not good for man to be alone. So I want to give you some statistics. This is a sign of a culture that is not aligned with God's purpose. The median age for marriage now, this is according to 2023, the median age for marriage now is 30.2 years old. And in the 1950s, if you go back all the way to the 1950s, it was 22.5. That's a significant culture shift. The average married rate amongst women on an annual basis is 14.9 people per 1,000, down from just a decade ago, it was 16.3. The average annual divorce rate is actually down right now. It's down 6.9 from 9.7 per 1,000 people. So divorce rates went down, but here's the thing. Fewer people are getting married, right? In 2023, according to Klein Law Group, first marriages still end in divorce rate of somewhere, and there's many factors that come into a wide varying percentage, but divorce rates factor in 35 to 50% of marriages for the first time. Here's something interesting, though. This stood out to me. The second marriage faces a higher likelihood of divorce, ranging from 60 to 70%. And according to Klein, infidelity is the leading cause, followed by financial stress, and third is communication. Now, I'm not here to talk about divorce today, but I think this is important to establish the outside forces that can damage a marriage and some inside forces. But in every circumstance or reason for divorce, we always want to point to a root cause, something specific. And my answer to that in its simplest form, and I'd say this even for Christian married couples, Jesus was not the center. Now listen to me. Here is the key. Jesus needs to be at the center of both parties involved. You who are the single Christian in your marital relationship know the strain that comes from that, right? But without Jesus at the center of both parties involved, you know it gets more difficult. But here's something I want you, if you are the lone Christian in the relationship, this next part is for you. Because I want to praise your work and effort you make to get to church, the way you praise God, the way you still diligently serve him. And the Apostle Paul gives those of you who fall into this category a special promise. I want you to listen to this. It's in 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verses 12 through 14. And this isn't our main scripture today, but I want you to hear this. It says, now I will speak to the rest of you, though I do not have a direct command from the Lord. If a fellow believer has a wife who is not a believer and she is not willing to continue living with him, he must not leave her. And if a believing woman has a husband who is not a believer and he is willing to continue living with her, she must not leave him. Listen, this is the key verse, and this is what I want you to put to memory, to embrace. For the believing wife brings holiness to her marriage. And the believing husband brings holiness to his marriage. Otherwise, your children would not be holy. But now, they are holy. So check this out. If you are the lone Christian in the relationship, you are bringing holiness to the marriage. Don't give up. Don't be pulled down. Keep your eyes focused on the Lord and trudge through each and every difficult circumstance. There are so many outside forces that can break up marriages. And you and I, we have to choose to stand strong and be resolved and not let our marriages become a statistic. I don't want my marriage to become a statistic. And here's the scariest part when I just read off those divorce rates. Get this. Outside the church and inside the church, those statistics are almost identical. They're almost identical. Why? That shouldn't be. I want us to read Ephesians chapter 6, verses 11 through 12. Most of you should know this. It's something that we as Pentecostals, we know Ephesians chapter 6 very well. But I want to read this as the foundation for what we're going to be talking about today. Ephesians 6, 11 through 12. It says, put on all of God's armor so that you will be able to stand firm against all strategies of the devil. Everyone in here say strategies. For we are not fighting against flesh and blood enemies, but against evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world. Now say unseen. Against mighty powers in this dark world and against evil spirits in the heavenly places. I want to pray. Father God, I just thank you for this message that you've put in my heart. And Lord, even though today is more teaching, and God, as those who are listening, they might wonder if this applies to them. Lord, I think ultimately what you are going to demonstrate through this is the kind of relationship that you want with us. And so, Lord, may our hearts be open, and Lord, may every single person in this place take away, even if it's just one thing that challenges them that they can implement. Please do so, Lord. Please present that to them today. In Jesus' name, amen. Listen, in our marriages, there are many seen forces at work against us. There are just the regular stumbling blocks that we face on a day-to-day basis. And one of the greatest stumbling blocks I think we face today that has set up especially poor expectations for a marriage is pornography. It is so easily accessible. The latest statistics is the average age that is exposed to pornography right now is around 7 years old. 7 years old. So if that doesn't wake you up, I don't know what does. But the effects of pornography and what it does to a marriage, it can completely tarnish a marriage because it disconnects the soul of the person and it only glorifies the lust. And so it lacks this spiritual connection of person-to-person intimacy that goes well beyond sex. And so it also sets up this false expectation for marriages that your spouse cannot possibly live up to. And here's the thing, it is so easy for one sex to point at the other sex and say, this is your problem. You know what? In 2024, they've proven it's both parties' problems. Now, women connect differently. You might say, well, I don't look at that stuff. But do you read erotic novels? I know many women that have. And what happens is it sets up, again, it's another aspect where it sets up these false expectations of what we get out of our partner. Something interesting, there is a group called the Conqueror Series, and they have done a whole lot of study on the effects of pornography. And we've got a slide I want to show you because it has been proven now through MRI studies and brain scans, pornography changes the functioning of your brain. It does. According to Dr. Ted Roberts, who leads the Conqueror Series, the CEO of your brain is the prefrontal cortex. That's in ultimate command. It is the top front portion of your brain, and though it may be smaller in size, it really runs the show for everything in your brain. And it is responsible for good decision making. Listen to this. Those of you, we need to be honest with before we go any further, we need to be honest with ourselves of the percentages of people that have been exposed to pornography, right? So if we are honest with the percentages of people that have been exposed to pornography, we can be honest with it's most of the people in this church. Okay? So let's go based off that presumption. Listen to what happens when you are regularly addicted to it. It is responsible, this prefrontal cortex is responsible for good decision making, impulse control, planning, and other complex functions befitting its executive position, and it is not fully formed until the age of 25. On the brain scans of a porn addict, the prefrontal cortex looks diminished, much like a deflated tire. So by watching pornography, this person has bypassed their CEO many times to go straight to, I want to feel good. And he goes on further, says, watching porn repeatedly is strengthening the limbic system pathways to unhealthy behavior, and so it ignores this prefrontal cortex in the process. And like a muscle that hasn't been used, what happens is it atrophies, okay? And so this makes us even more impulsive and less in control of our behavior. And in a perfect storm situation for those who use porn, the limbic system is also where memories are formed and pleasure registers. So even seeing the computer or the phone, just seeing it sitting there, can trigger someone to watch porn. All told, you end up with a brain that is highly overactive in some places and woefully underactive in others. Your brain isn't functioning normally. With a regular porn user, their ability to control their behavior has lessened considerably, and they are much more driven to act out again and again on impulse. So what this shows is, check this out, it's an addiction similar to any strong drug. Because the dopamine hit that you receive. And so really, when you are talking about battling this, you are talking about a process that is similar to drug addiction. And I want to tell you, if this is a problem for you, it can rob you and your spouse of true pleasure. So don't excuse porn to enhance your marriage, because that's what the world is trying to sell you right now. It can only hurt it. Listen to Proverbs 4, 14 through 15. It says, don't do as the wicked do, and don't follow the path of evildoers. Don't even think about it. Don't go that way. Turn away and keep moving. It's pretty straightforward, isn't it? But I am here to tell you, it is not easy. It takes work, and it takes years of breaking cycles, because the way our brain is wired, it is wired to take cycles. For instance, that dopamine hit, that desire might come up, because that limbic system, it might come up about once every couple weeks. And then if you learn to kind of stretch that out, it might happen once every couple years that desire comes. And you have to be able to fight and overcome it. So going back to these seen forces at work, who knows that others can interfere with your relationships, especially your marriage? Guard yourself from others' opinions about your marriage. It's very important. There are many thoughts and opinions about what your relationship should look like. It is so funny. Wendy and I, for the longest time, you know, we've had kids now for almost 22 years, which makes me feel really old. Really old. And as I look at my oldest son and I think about his needs, because of me being a pastor, oftentimes when we were out in public, it was within the realm of the church. And many people would not see us together because our attitude was, okay, time to divide and conquer, right? And so she's focused on the kids and I'm focused on the church. And our first pastor, there was many that were led to believe that our marriage was unhealthy because they never saw us hanging out together and doing ministry together. We're like, no, man, we're just trying to hold it all together here. That's what we're trying to do. But a huge hindrance of healthy marriages can be these outside voices. And the next thing I'm going to say, you might think applies to you because of your in-laws, But I'm telling you, you could be the root cause of this, or the root issue of this too. A huge hindrance of healthy marriages is parents. I realize, mom and dad, that is your little boy or that's your little girl. But listen to what scripture tells us in Matthew chapter 19, verses 5 through 6. This is Jesus speaking. And he said, this explains why a man leaves his father and mother and is joined to his wife, and the two are united into one. Since they are no longer two but one, let no one split apart what God has joined together. Here's my reality. One day, my daughter is going to get married, and I just vomited in my mouth a little bit. And when that day comes, I need to entrust her to her husband. And I need to entrust them both to God. And I have to work in being in a role where all I have to give is support as them as a single unit, unified in Christ. That needs to be my goal. And there are so many suggestions about your relationship and what you should do. And I need to implore you to ask yourself this question, but what does God say? What does God say? I'm going to tell you about the day before I got married. The day before I got married, I am in Streeter, Illinois, preparing for a wedding, and my wife will attest to this. There is nothing to do in Streeter, Illinois. But I needed to get a haircut. And so she said, hey, there's this barber downtown. And so I go down to the barber. And he's asking me all the typical barber small talk. And I'm like, well, actually, you know, I'm here because I'm getting married tomorrow. He goes, how old are you? I said, well, I just turned 19. He said, listen to me, son. You are making a mistake. He said, you too? He says, do you live together? I said, no, sir. Said, in fact, we've never even slept together. He says, that's a bigger mistake. And I'm like kind of cross-eyed, like, okay, like I don't really want to listen to you right now, but if I walk out of here right now, my hair is going to look really dumb. So I'm along for the ride. And he says, you two need to move in together. You need to experience each other and just experience life for a while before you make this commitment. First off, no. Secondly, this barber must be God's gift to the world because he is giving out unsolicited advice to anyone who walks in the door. And church, I am telling you, let no one set the standard for your marriage but God. That's it. And through that prism, those who portray a godly example. So it's important also that as you're going through this marriage and these seen forces at work, that you need to guard your heart through difficult waters. I'm not talking about you as a unit because you can only control yourself, right? So you need to focus on guarding your heart through difficult waters. Listen to Proverbs 4:23. It says, guard your heart above all else, for it determines the course of your life. And I've heard so many people encourage each other, follow your heart, but listen to Jeremiah 17:9's caution. It says, the heart is deceitful above all things. It's desperately wicked. Church, I'm telling you, marriages take work, and there are going to be challenges and challenges that you face as a couple, challenges that you face as individuals, and it will be important to who you turn to or where you set your heart through those challenges. I can point to many stories of married people who they decided to confide in someone outside of their marriage. Many times they confided in someone of the opposite sex, and it typically leads to an affair, sexually or emotionally. And if you want your marriage to remain secure, you need to protect yourself from any emotional attachments outside of your marriage. You need to build walls around your marriage. And I'm going to talk about that when I end. But if you need to be committed to your spouse being secure in your relationship, you need to fight for no emotional attachments outside of it. That's key. I'm thankful for a secure wife. And I know many of you might not have that secure of a spouse. But it is your responsibility to make them feel secure. That's important. The other scene force that we're dealing with in our marriages, sometimes you can be your worst enemy. You can be your own stumbling block. You don't need Satan's help. You do enough damage on your own, you know? Like, listen, I'm looking in the mirror when I'm saying these things, right? Because I know when it comes to me, it comes to a man who sometimes just doesn't have the filter, right? And luckily, I have a wife that she's chose to put that filter in her ears like she never even heard it. Praise God. You cannot have a healthy, godly relationship with your spouse if you bring into your relationship unaddressed baggage. Many people are bringing in hurts to their relationships, or you're bringing in past trauma that's never been addressed. And it might be things that are unspoken, things that you never tell them about. And as a result, let me tell you what happens. That behavior toward your spouse can seem erratic or suspicious. I have a friend that can speak directly to this. And let me tell you what happened was, even though he was dealing with trauma that he wouldn't speak about, she didn't trust him because she saw his behaviors and thought, he's doing something he shouldn't be. And the whole time, he was fighting past trauma. I want to tell you that your relationship with your spouse cannot grow without trust. It cannot grow without trust. And if you can't trust the person you committed your entire life to, who can you trust? Because at one time, you pledged your life to that person. And so this doesn't mean that once you lose trust with them that it's time to abandon the relationship for a more trustworthy one. But what I would tell you is reestablish what brought you together and deal with that trauma as a single unit. Do your best to deal with it. I'm going to say something else, and I might step on toes with this, but you know what? It just is what it is at this point because I'm tired of seeing unhealthy relationships. Counseling isn't a dirty word. It's not. And professional perspective can help you get through a world of hurts. And I am telling you, it might not be in your best interest to come to me as your counselor. Gabe laughed. That's great. But this church will help support you in finding professional help. I want you to hear that. You as a member of this church. If you come to us and say, hey, I need counseling, but I just don't have the means. We'll find the means. It's that important. You also need to have open, honest communication with your spouse. Don't hide anything from them. You know, I want to remind you that this is a mirror of your relationship with God, your marriage. And eventually it's going to be brought out. Who knows, Scripture says, your sins will find you out, right? And David said in regards to open communication with God, I want you to listen to this. He said in Psalm 62:8, oh, my people, trust in him at all times. Pour out your heart to him, for God is our refuge. The longer you hide things, the more you bottle up potential baggage and hurt. In all things, spiritually, these issues, it might reveal that there is something deeper at work. There is something deeper going on in you. And so what you have to do is when there are things that you are tempted to hide from your spouse, you just put it out in the open right away. Because when it goes years of being unresolved, it brings often more questions than answers. And then you wonder, how can I trust them at all? You earn trust by bringing things out into the open immediately. Here's the reality. Not a single one of us is perfect. No one in this room has the perfect marriage. No one is not the world's example of how to live. We have all fallen short of the glory of God. So if you practice, this is with God, if you practice confession, if you practice repentance, if you practice confession to your spouse, if you ask for forgiveness right away, it's going to get easier every time. Every time. The next thing, if there was ever a mirror staring me right in the face, it's on this next thing. Tame the tongue. Watch what you say to your spouse. Now, here's the problem. If you have a good relationship with your spouse, there is probably no one you are more comfortable with, which means our speech in those comfortable situations reveals our true heart. Listen to James 3:6. It says, "And among all the parts of the body, the tongue is a flame of fire. It is a whole world of wickedness corrupting your entire body. It can set your whole life on fire, for it is set on fire by hell itself." If we go further in James chapter 3, what we're going to find, it says that with this tongue, we can speak blessings. With this tongue, we can speak curses. And some of you know how to berate your spouse. It's time to end that behavior. This is the person you committed your life to. And you know what? Most of the stuff we berate our spouses over is the most petty garbage. It's not worth it. It's not worth it. I realize you're comfortable enough to reveal those things of your heart, but you need to do some real soul work. God, what's going on inside of here that I'm willing to say that to the person I dedicated my life to? Many of you know what you say to your spouse can ruin an evening, but it can also ruin the rest of your life. And I'd implore you to live honestly around them, but understand, you have the opportunity today to speak blessings into your marriage, not curses. All right, moving on. Then there's the unseen forces at work. We have to acknowledge that the enemy is at work, and he's at work all the time, and there is nothing more he wants to destroy than your soul, and oftentimes how he is going to do that is through your marriage. Because again, I want to go back to what I said at the very beginning. There is no relationships here on earth that mirror God's relationship with mankind more than marriage. And so the enemy is going to be at work. And sometimes issues in a relationship are as simple as learning to work with one another, but the reality is there is an enemy that wants to cause turmoil and strife. Jesus recognized this when he was explaining to the disciples that he was going to die a martyr's death. I want you to listen to this in Mark 8:31. It says, "Then Jesus began to tell them that the Son of Man must suffer many terrible things and be rejected by the elders, the leading priests, and the teachers of religious law. He would be killed, but 3 days later, he would rise from the dead." So Jesus is telling them this ahead of time. Listen to verse 32. "As he talked about this openly with his disciples, Peter took him aside and began to reprimand him for saying such things. Jesus turned around and looked at his disciples, then reprimanded Peter. 'Get away from me, Satan,' he said. 'You are seeing things merely from a human point of view, not from God's.'" I would first encourage you to never refer to your spouse as Satan. That's not going to go over well. But if you recognize that Satan is the author of confusion, okay, are you hearing me? if you recognize that Satan is the author of confusion and that he loves to sow seeds of discord that steer you away from God's purpose. That's what Jesus was recognizing in that moment. And so Satan, he might tempt you into sin, and he can bring people into your life to draw you away from the relationships that God has established. But I want to be clear, it is not Satan that makes the decision for you to sin. He only leads you to it. It's you that makes that choice. Listen to Solomon's words for his son in Proverbs 6, 20 through 26. He says, "My son, obey your father's commands and don't neglect your mother's instruction. Keep their words always in your heart. Tie them around your neck. When you walk, their counsel will lead you. When you sleep, they will protect you. When you wake up, they will advise you, for their command is a lamp and their instruction a light. Their corrective discipline is the way of life. It will keep you from the immoral woman, from the smooth tongue of a promiscuous woman. Don't lust for her beauty. Don't let her coy glances seduce you, for a prostitute will bring you to poverty. But sleeping with another man's wife will cost you your life." This is why I stressed to you earlier, be careful who you confide in, because you need to guard your heart from emotional attachments to someone else. As I look around this room, I look at many people who might say back to me, "Pastor, I haven't always gotten these things right." But I'm telling you that today the goal is that we can apply the word of God and say, "But boy, I want to get it right going forward. I want to see change. I want to see healthy relationships moving forward." I want to tell you, Satan brings people into your life. God brings people into your life, so does Satan. And not every person introduced to you is a gift from God. They're not. Outside of your faith in God, again, this is the third time I've said this, protect your marriage at all costs. There are three ways to combat Satan's tactics. And you know, he uses all kinds of things against you, but it is all in the form of manipulating the word of God and a right relationship with him. And so the three ways to combat Satan's tactics, the first way is to claim your authority. Claim your authority. So as a follower of Jesus, you are positionally seated with Christ. Jesus, he's already defeated Satan on the cross. So claim that victory. That is already established and won. You don't need to fight it. Jesus already has. Claim that authority, because your life has been bought and paid for by Jesus' sacrifice, and you are now called a child of God because of him. Aren't you thankful for that? And so you don't have to apply this just to your marriage. This is just a way of fighting the enemy. Listen to Ephesians 2:6. It says, "For he raised us from the dead along with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms, because we are united with Christ Jesus." Number two, flee temptation. Who here has been tempted? If your hand's not up, you're wrong. When temptation presents itself, you need to run. Don't fight it. Don't say, "Oh no, I'm gonna battle you." Your battle is seeing how fast your feet can move, okay? That's exactly what Joseph did in Genesis when his boss's wife tried to seduce him. He had to run. And she grabbed hold of his cloak, and you know what? The cloak came off, and he still kept on running. There was no shame in that man's run. I want to tell you, there's always a way out. God has given you the strength and courage to escape. You just have to choose his escape route, not yours. 1 Corinthians 12:1 says, if you think you are standing strong, be careful not to fall. I have seen men and women of the faith that you'd think they are untouchable. They are so grounded in God and His Word that nothing can shake them. And I pray, church, that you are smart enough to realize that all of us are incredibly weak people. Do not think you are impervious to the enemy's attacks. Number three, this is not the same as number two. Resist the devil. Resist him. Who knows, you can flirt. You can flirt with him. I don't mean biblically you can flirt with him, but in our flesh, we flirt with him a little bit. There are things that we entice and we let into our life, and what we're doing is we're not resisting him at all, we're embracing him. And so I am telling you to resist the devil, and so when you stand against Satan, he will flee, but you need to stand on the right things. You cannot stand on your own accord. You stand on your own accord against Satan, you are going to get whooped. But Jesus demonstrated this when Satan tempted him, because how did Jesus respond every time Satan tempted him? He responded with the Word of God. And here's the thing I want to tell you, especially if you are a new believer. If you don't know what to say or how to pray, pray the name of Jesus. There is power in his name, and Satan must submit to it. He must. So don't entertain him. Don't give him an open door into your life. Don't give him an open door by what you watch on TV. Are you hearing me? Don't give an open door to what you scroll to see on your phone. Don't give an open door to him by what you listen to. Shut that door. Resist him, because guess what? He is going to try and tempt you again, and you need to tell him exactly who he is and exactly what awaits him in eternity. Church, we need to fortify our marriages. This is so important. You need to set healthy boundaries. For instance, in our marital relationship, something that I choose to do, I don't counsel behind closed doors with another woman. I won't do it. Either Wendy is with me, or there's someone else present close by and the door stays open. I don't care if there's sensitive things to talk about. And here's the thing. It has very little to do with whether or not the temptation will be there. Has everything to do with appearances. So I want you to just put this into your practical world. If you have a friend of the opposite sex and there is nothing going on whatsoever, but your spouse doesn't like it, it is not worth stressing the marriage. Are you hearing me? Because some of you have held on to relationships that you need to get rid of a long time ago. I want to remind you, this is about who you have chose to commit your life to. And even if they think nothing of a friendly relationship, what is also the perception of others? Church, I'm telling you, I had to learn this the hard way. When I was a youth pastor here in this church, we had a job in West Des Moines, and I had a friend who was a female. And her and I just liked joking around together. It passed the time at work, right? We went out to lunch one day. Wendy knew about it. She worked for the same company. No big deal to her. But boy, the office chatter. The office chatter. And I had to look in the mirror and say, this isn't worth it. It's not worth it. There are good barriers to place in your life not to open the door to any kind of temptation. Whether that temptation would arise tomorrow or whether that temptation would arise a year from now. Just keep that door closed. And it protects your marriage. Here's the next thing. You should be spending more time with your spouse. You should be spending more time with your spouse than you do with your homies. You hear me? I'm serious. At the last church we were at, I had someone in the ministry that I pastored who regularly left his wife at home while he went and hung out with his friends. And even though she acted secure, there was clear she wanted more from the marriage. She made that clear. And what I noticed was the marriage was always under stress because she was looking for more. And my caution in that situation is that when you leave your spouse looking for more in the relationship, eventually they are going to find it. You hear me? It's not worth it. It's not worth it. Prioritize time together. Set date nights. Book a weekend getaway. Church, I'm going to say something. It's not a dirty word. Sex is a gift from God. Have it regularly and don't withhold it from one another. If you do, that's not biblical. In fact, the Apostle Paul instructs us in 1 Corinthians chapter 7 that if you're going to abstain or fast from sex, you got to do it in agreement with one another. Spend time together building your relationship in Christ. And this is where I want to end this. And I realize that this is a different message than I typically preach. And this is a different tenor than what I usually speak with. But as long as you're both you believers, unite in Christ. Those where you're not both believers, I spoke to you already and I am encouraging you, keep clinging to that, right? That as long as you maintain your relationship with God, you are keeping holiness in the marriage. But you who are both in Christ, here are some encouraging things that I want to give you. Read the Word together. And if you can't read the Word together because you're both work full-time or whatever, talk about how, read the Word together as far as reading the same passages of Scripture and then talk about how you can apply it or what you have read as a couple. Speak to disagreements and what unites you through the Word of God. I also want to tell you, it doesn't have to be large passages of Scripture, but do a devotional together, or at the very least, just discuss what you've read. Because if you intentionally focus on God's Word, the dynamics of your relationship will strengthen. And this is the most important thing, and this is what I leave you with today. There is nothing more powerful in a marriage than praying together. Pray as a couple. And here's the thing, not that every request you have, you need to pray for together, but come together for times of prayer to pray over your lives, to pray over your kids' lives and specific requests. Because if you are struggling in your marriage, I really think what you need to do is you need to pray. Because prayer unifies hearts. And be sure that how you pray speaks a blessing over your spouse. Because I'm telling you, I have heard some people pray for their spouses, and it felt like they might as well have been stabbing them with a knife. Guess what? That's just divination. That's all that is. Speak blessings into your marriage, especially in prayer, and that God will do a special work in them and through them as a part of the relationship. This is the scripture I believe you should pray over your marriages. Psalm 34:7. For the angel of the Lord is a guard. He surrounds and defends all who fear him. Lord, surround, protect my marriage. Lord, let the enemy not infiltrate that. This is what I want to leave you with. And I don't think, if there was anything important I gave you today, it's these next few moments. According to the Institute of Family Studies, these were the positive effects of couples who prayed together. They found that overall, not just singular couples, but overall, there were positive outcomes of forgiveness. It was easier to forgive one another. There was a building of trust and unity. There was decreased infidelity. It was more of a rare occurrence. There was increased relationship satisfaction and commitment. There was greater mindfulness of the effects of our actions against our spouse. That means people were thinking more before they spoke. There was a lessening of negative feelings toward one another. All of a sudden, it de-escalated harsh feelings that they might have had towards each other in the past, and there was greater conflict resolution when situations did arise. Praying together enhanced intimacy, commitment, and communication. Church, marriages are stronger when God is at the center. Fight for your marriage. I felt like today that I was basically just listing a lot of principles of do's and don'ts and how the enemy attacks our marriages, but this is what I ultimately want to take place today. I want you to say, God, how can my marriage grow in you? What can we change? Or how should you pray for that future spouse and what to look for and identify? I think the Word of God has given us some great tools. And we need to implement it. So what I ask you to do right now is I ask you to just bow your heads and close your eyes. And I want you to open your heart up to the Holy Spirit to say, God, I want my relationship to be strengthened the godly way. What do I need to change? Challenge me. And it could be something as simple as we need to start praying together. Guess what? That's a good start. That's probably the best start you could have. But maybe there are personal hurts you have against one another. And maybe the Holy Spirit is going to resolve in your heart right now. It's time to put that to rest. Maybe there's something you need to confess, and the Spirit of God is telling you it's time. The healthiest relationship we can have on the face of the earth is our one with God. Second should be our spouses. And if you were to evaluate it right now, if you were going to the doctor and getting a checkup on your marriage, what would the evaluation find? What might he prescribe for it to come back to health? That's what the Holy Spirit wants to do right now. Father God, I pray that you will open up hearts and minds right now. That Lord, as you speak, and I know you want to speak to this, God, that we listen, we obey, we move forward in your godly plan. And that God, some of the things that you might be calling us to do are difficult, but Lord, that we do it with an understanding, God, that it will bring about health. So, Lord, I pray you speak and reveal right now. I thank you in Jesus' name. Right now, if you are here with your spouse, if your spouse is sitting beside you or at least in the room, I think this is an opportunity for you to pray for one another. And I'd invite my wife to just come up here. And what I want you to do is I just want you to just grab their hand or put your arm around them. And the reality is, you know the desires of their heart. Hopefully you know the things that they long for from God, and hopefully you have longings for them to connect with God. And so what I encourage you to do, even if your spouse isn't here right now, I want you to pray for them. And I want you to pray God's blessing over their life. I want you to pray that they just have a unique experience with God, because I saw this diagram today, and it showed our relationship, our marital relationships with God. God was at the top of this pyramid, and it showed the husband and wife. It was a sliding scale, and it says the closer you get to God, the closer you are to each other. Pray for them to be connected to God. That's the best place to start. Let's pray right now. Let's lift up our spouses in prayer. Father God, I thank you for this woman that you have given me. God, for each and every person in this room and the spouses that you have given them, Lord. God, what you have brought together, your word says, let no man separate. And God, where it is the closest thing on this earth that resembles the covenant that you have made with man, Lord, may we be diligent about upholding that covenant. And as I look around this room, God, I see many people who might look to their past and say, well, Lord, I didn't always do right by you. But God, today we pledge, going forward, that we want to honor you with our lives, and God, we want to honor you with our lives in our marital relationships, Lord. God, I pray for my spouse. Lord, I pray for my wife, that you will speak to her. God, that you will give her fresh vision and revelation, God. That, Lord, you will open up heaven to her, that she can see, Lord, what you have done for her, that she is fearfully and wonderfully made in your image, God, and that you have a distinct purpose for her outside of just our relationship, God, and that she can be used by you each and every day if she just hears from you clearly, God. Lord, I pray that you speak. I pray that you use her like never before, God. Lord, I pray not just continued security in our relationship, but a security in you, one that cannot be broken by any outside force. God, that when the enemy comes to attack, Lord, she has spiritual eyes and discernment to recognize that attack right away and shut the door. I thank you, God. Lord, we cry out for health of our relationships here in this church. Lord, that we don't let any outside force hinder the work that you want to do. God, we love you and we praise you. And we thank you for this partnership. In Jesus' name.